Tonight on TMSPM, Ryan says things are going to get interesting.
Burning punk memorabilia.
Madonna forgot to set her alarm.
Indiana Jones 5 might not be poo.
I'm not sure it won't be poo. Dan the Tabletop Man.
Your Twitter questions and more on this episode of TMSPM.
Oh, turn that up, son. There you go.
This is the morning stream, but it's not in the morning, it's at night.
TMSPM.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMSPM. It's the PM edition of TMS because you help us out on patreon.com/TMS. Because of you, there's this fifth episode a week, and we're really happy to bring it to you a little later today than we planned, but we're on. We got it. We're good.
Hey, it's still PM.
Yeah, it's 4 PM. It's actually more PM than it used to be.
It's way more PM.
Yeah. Do things get more PM as the day goes on?
They really don't. It's either pregnant or it's not.
Hold on. What is after the P? What does the PM stand for?
Prime meridian.
Prime meridian.
Yeah.
Okay. What is AM?
Antemeridian.
Okay. How are babies made? Can you explain that to me?
Usually in the PM.
And then mom gets sick in the AM. All right. Let's see. What do we got here? We got a show to do. We're going to do it. We're going to make it happen. And today I'm happy to report that Dan will be here because of our shift in time. We thought, you know what? We should call Dan, see if he's around. Because our new time kind of messed him up with work and stuff. But he can do this one. So expect great things here at the break. Also, the house. If you can smell this right now. The whole
it's
house.
Almost like I can smell it, Scott. I can almost smell it.
The house smells like corned beef and cabbage.
Right.
Why, you ask? Because we're doing what's it called? St. Patrick's Day. That's the one.
Oh my God.
Yeah, we're doing St. Patrick's Day celebration tonight. We're having some neighbors over. Kim made this huge feast of these huge slabs of corned beef, and we're gonna eat like kings tonight.
You know how I can smell it from your house, Tristan? Am I calling you Tristan?
Yeah, you are. It's all right.
It's because we have it here.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, so it's like smell-o-vision. I'm smelling here. I can smell what The Rock is cooking in your house.
It's wafting through the building.
Through Skype. Skype got this one right, finally.
Great. I'm going to tell Kim that you called her Dwayne The Rock Johnson when I said that. So anyway, that's happening tonight, and we'll report next week on how our festivities went. And a lot of people want to know, like somebody asked me on Twitter, are you guys celebrating for religious reasons, or do you just party, or what's the deal? And I think over here in the States, our adherence to St. Patrick's Day is purely like everyone wear green, get drunk, and eat food. That's pretty much it, right?
Green beer, go out to a bar, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, right after corned beef and cabbage, I'm meeting some friends, well, crazy neighbor and his family who's in town visiting from Wisconsin. And Miami, and we're going to go bowling,
Or you get a couple of beers and go bowling?
A little St. Patty's Day bowling.
Oh, that sounds good.
Nothing more Irish than bowling.
Well, I'm glad for you. That sounds like fun, and I'm sure some stories may come out of that.
I'm hoping.
Hopefully the only story that comes out of tonight is everything tastes good. Here's this.
Radio today is different. Powerful networks span the nation from coast to coast. Shortwave radio girdles the globe.
Ooh, look, it's the evening news brought to you by
Hypothetical Help. Episode 39 is out right now. Get it free wherever you get podcasts or at hypotheticalhelp.com.
Yeah, right now, actually, if you go and get it.
Right now.
In the evening news tonight, Senator Paul Ryan was almost Vice President Ryan, had him and Romney won the election last time. Said
Eddie Munster of politics.
Very good. Yes, he's Robin to the Batman. He kind of was in a lot of ways.
Right.
House Speaker Paul Ryan said Thursday that it's looking very likely that the Republican Party will face an open convention in July, meaning a floor fight to pick a nominee, and that Donald J. Trump and the party might want to accept that quote reality. Unquote.
I wish when he says a floor fight, I wish he was speaking literally.
I'm not sure he isn't this time around.
Well, that's true. Actually, I think
I'm trying to imagine Trump flanked by his cronies,
especially his campaign manager.
Yeah. I mean,
Lurch.
It really could get, it could get interesting.
Yeah.
At the very least, it'll be the most watched thing in the history of all things.
Oh, for sure. I can't wait. I wish it was happening sooner than July, yeah. Honestly.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy. Like, I don't know. I guess we didn't talk about it today or this morning, but he said, I'm done doing, I don't want to do any more debates. I've said everything I'm going to say. I'm not going to this debate. So he's out of the debate. What do? They cancel the debate.
Which was going to be right there. Salt Lake City.
I'm pissed. First of all, I'm pissed because I wanted to see what kind of nut show it was here. But secondly, I'm pissed because this proves something about the media that's driving me crazy.
Yeah.
And that is, if Trump's not involved, y'all don't seem to give a shit.
Well, it wasn't just him. Somebody else said they were canceling too. I mean, basically, it's, you know, it's him.
It would have been him and Cruz.
Cruz and Kasich, right?
Yeah, I think Kasich was the other one that was bowing out.
Yeah,
or
so,
something. Yeah.
So I'd say, I think it would be awesome if they just had it anyway and had Cruz debate himself.
Oh, I'd love that. He'd say, one great thing about me is that I am a God-fearing, gun-toting, whatever I am.
and they still need to use the bell to, like, cut him off.
Oh, that'd be great.
That would have been the best thing ever.
That'd be great. Although the bell, instead of using the bell last time for the Democratic one I watched, they used Anderson Cooper trying to interrupt them.
Oh, really?
And he would go, Mrs. Clinton, Senator Sanders, he kept saying that like that. And now he is so ghostly white with black glasses, I don't even know what to make of that guy.
Really?
Anderson Cooper, yeah, looking real weird to me.
I'll have to look him up.
Yeah, check him out, see what you think.
It's bad they don't have your soundboard.
Yeah,
that would be much better than the bell or Anderson Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, you know, Trump is going on about whatever. It's going to be great, great, you know, we're going to make this great. It's going to be great. Ding. Oh, he's just going to ignore that one. What? Because it would throw them off their game. They wouldn't know what to do about it. They would absolutely stop talking.
Yeah.
If it was like,
we've got to take this Iran deal back.
Hey, is it totally really going to fish sandwich?
What? I just have to lay on it.
Totally.
That's amazing. Right. Anyway, he says that they talked about this possibility with reporters. He noted that he's the chairman of the convention. Will have to, quote, bone up on the rules. Going to bone up. He openly acknowledged that even as Trump puts away another round of primary victories, a convention where no candidate has been reached or has reached the necessary 1,237 delegates, what could actually happen this year, which is crazy. So this may be a thing they would have done anyway, because nobody, including Trump, may hit the required number of delegates.
Right. I don't think he will.
So if he's not going to, then you have to do this.
Right now, he is at the seemingly appropriate number of 666.
Yep. Everybody, I've heard a few people talk about that.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Somebody's noted that? Has it come up? Really?
Yeah. The only person who hasn't talked about it, who I wish we would, has an eagle in his name.
Himself?
I wish Third Eagle would say something.
Oh, Third Eagle would be great.
I'm guessing.
As we know, okay, we do know this, right? Everybody, we do know this, right?
I want him to come out and endorse Trump, because I think he secretly does. Because it sounds like his kind of man to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. Could be wrong. Anyway, nothing
reality
has changed.
Show leopard.
It says nothing has changed other than the perception that this is more likely to become an open convention than we really thought before. He says, so we are getting our minds around the idea that this really well could become reality, and therefore those of us who are involved in the convention need to respect that. Yeah, he actually kind of has a hard job coming up. So, and he gets to, doesn't he pick? No. How's it go? I forget the rules for him. He gets to pick something, though.
Like he does. If it's a contested
nomination,
then he does get to, I don't know if he gets to pick, but he does get to put another nomination in the.
Oh, maybe that's it.
I think that's what it is.
Right.
Like he gets to nominate whoever he wants.
Right. So he could say, all right, I'm putting in my old boy Romney in there.
Right.
And then that could really throw things for a weird loop. Anyway, what a weird deal. The whole thing's weird.
Deal. You know, and for the record, I think Third Eagle is a Cruz man.
Think he's a Cruz man?
I think he's a Cruz man, because Cruz has that perfect balance of religion and God that
yeah. Or that he's pretending to have that.
I get my joke there.
No, I
perfect
missed it.
Perfect balance of religion and God.
Oh, I see, because this should be the same thing. I don't know if I was to if I was to be in the head of 30 Eagle, I don't know what I would be thinking right now. I'd be thinking about how there's a shape of the devil symbol in Rihanna's crotch in a video or something.
I think that he has to see Trump as end times.
Yeah, he has to, right? Why couldn't you? But he's not. But he's not saying anything about it.
No.
This whole time you've been saying, ah, the leopard, end times, this and that. Now you're all of a sudden clamming up? Come on, dude. Right. What's happening? Right.
This is your time to shine, man.
Yeah,
Come on. Give
us some end.
End times.
End times.
End
all feels,
times.
All feels right in the world when you play
And the co-prophet of these end times.
End times.
Dreams.
End times.
Now we need to get a clip of Ferris Bueller of the... what's her face saying nine times and then go back and forth between.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Nine times, end times, times.
I might have to go cap that.
Yeah. Anyway,
the son of the sex.
Get on that.
Yeah. Get on that. Son of Sex Pistols manager. So the manager of the Sex Pistols in the '70s, right? His son.
Yeah.
Okay,
it's he was a bastard too.
That's what I heard.
Malcolm McLaren. Yeah.
He says he is burning $7 million in punk memorabilia as a protest.
So he's just as much of a crapshoot.
Yep. His name is Joe Core. Corey? Core?
I don't know. Joe Core?
Corey? I don't know. Anyway, he has a collection of punk memorabilia worth $7.2 million. He says it's all about to go up in flames. The son of the late Sex Pistols manager, Malcolm McLaren, and fashion designer Vivian Westwood. I knew it. I knew that.
Creamy Vivian Westwood.
Creamy Vivian Westwood. Said he'll burn vast amounts of clothes from the punk era later this year as a protest against the celebrations honoring 40 years of punk planned by the British Library and British Film Institute. It's actually a very punk thing to do.
Oh, so that's why he's doing it. It's not because he wants to be a dick like his dad. It's It's basically because it's a real punk move to go against the regime and. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. it's the establishment that they railed against is now accepting them and giving them praise, right. And that nobody wants that. It's the ultimate in selling out if you're a punk band. The Queen giving 2016 the year of punk, her official blessing is the most frightening thing I've ever heard. He says in a press release. Hey, how about this, President Donald J. Trump? Does that not freak you out more?
burn something when you see that.
Yeah, talk about alternative and punk culture being appropriated by the mainstream rather than a movement for change. Punk has become like the effing museum piece of a tribute act. Well, this Corey also told Crack. Oh, Crack magazine. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought they messed up and he was on Crack. Anyway, people are feeling numb. And with numbness comes complacency, the most dangerous thing that they have stopped fighting for what they believe in. We need to explode all the shit once more.
Mm.
What I don't understand about this article is that they censored the S word with S space, 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 space.
Right.
But they went ahead and put the whole F word in there. Isn't that a little weird? That's a little weird to me.
Well, apparently they have different values.
I guess so.
I don't know. That's funny.
Yeah. What do you
John
think about
Biden,
this?
I would expect to have these feelings, but...
You don't think he's gotten older and he's like, I don't care anymore?
No, he's still... I mean, you know, what did he say about... was it Sam Smith or Coldplay or Adele? He came out against Adele.
Oh, I thought that was... I thought that was one of the brothers, the Oasis brothers.
That's right, the Gallagher brothers. Hold on a second. Yeah, Johnny...
What was it?
Or John, let's just go John Lydon.
John Lydon. That's the only real change. He's changed his name from Johnny to John.
Out. I'm just gonna do. Here's what I'm gonna Google. I'm gonna let Google finish it. John Lydon speaks out against, and see what Google finishes.
All right. I hope it's something stupid.
So don't. This isn't
cauliflower.
Right. Oh, hold on a second. Oh, I get nothing.
Toeless shoes.
It doesn't finish it. But Jimmy Savile, he speaks out against.
Don't know who that is.
I don't either.
I feel like he's just gone quiet. You know, like he's just sitting around going, oh, bring me some tea. I don't want to fight.
I could have sworn there was somebody recently that he was complaining about in regular pop music, and I can't find it.
Was that
somebody out there?
What was that song he did that wasn't with the Sex Pistols, but was either with himself or somebody
else?
It was
Public Image Limited, Disappointed, or...
I thought it was like... Around it. How's it go?
Promises.
Oh, I used to love that stuff.
Worn out, broken down sentences.
I think those are my favorite. That's my favorite era for him. I love that stuff.
Yeah, I do too. I think the Public Image Limited stuff was great.
Really, really good.
Disappointed all you people.
Didn't we see a movie with him in it for FilmSack? There was something with Johnny Rotten in it.
No, I don't remember. If we did, I don't remember seeing it.
It was maybe just a cameo. I don't remember.
Could be. Hey, I'm going to give you a link.
Okay, give me a link.
Provided by JK Grammar in
give
the
it,
chat room.
Give it.
Going to put it in your Skype right
okay.
there. Click that link.
Okay, it's a YouTube
have your,
link.
Have your finger ready on the end times button.
All right, hold on. Let me pull this up. I'm going to be all ready for this.
Okay,
hold on. This can. I want to make sure I don't screw this up. Which end times do you think I should use? It needs to be a short one or a fast one? Because I got a lot of these.
Let me hear a short one real
quick. All
right,
here's a short one.
End times.
Not so long.
That's
one.
A short one.
Hold on.
And the co-profit of these end times.
Oh, yeah, no, it's got to just be end times.
Okay.
End times.
All right, that's it. We'll use that one.
Okay, so I'm pulling it over. All right, so I'm going to play this video, and I hit it. Well, I'll figure this out. Okay, here we go.
Nine times.
End times.
Nine times.
End times.
there were only two. Oh, boy. Well, anyway, that was fun. This guy's going to burn a bunch of stuff, so there you go.
All right.
I don't know why the son of the manager thinks he's the voice of punk now. That bothers me a little bit.
Because he thinks that when the king is dead, the prince takes his place.
All right.
The prince of punk.
Sure.
Malcolm McLaren's son.
Madonna is in the news again. She's always in the news, it seems like, my whole life. But today she's in it again. She has angered fans after arriving over 2 hours late for her concert. Fans are not pleased with the pop diva's strange behavior on her current Rebel Hearts tour. First, she was accused of being intoxicated on stage, and now she's showing up several hours late. The 57-year-old singer arrived at her concert in Brisbane, Australia, over 2 hours late Wednesday night. She was supposed to take the stage at 9 p.m. She didn't show up till 11:22 p.m., leaving her dedicated fans extremely unhappy. When Madonna first took the stage, she didn't seem to care that her fans were booing her and demanding refunds. "If you people that get here really early, that's your problem," she said to the crowd.
I like how she sounds drunk when you
stay home, do your hair and makeup, have tequila, roll yourself a fat one.
Right. I like how they put fan one.
Yeah, I think it was a typo in the article. Yeah. The fans demanding refunds are particularly upset because the concert ended at going well past 1 a.m. and the last train from the venue left at 12:17 a.m. prior to her arrival. Management had even warned the fans that Madonna probably wouldn't take the stage earlier than 10:30. They had also told fans headed to her show Thursday night to expect similar delays, even though the superstar told the crowd that this hardly ever happens, unquote.
Oh, jeez.
What's going on with her?
I'd be ticked off, too.
Here's what I'd do, Brian. Let me tell you what I would do, and I would have done it more probably a decade ago. Okay. I'd stop touring. I would be done with this. Right. I would have all the Madonna money in the world. And unless she is completely in debt and blown it all, just stop. Go do something nice. You got
stay home. Do your hair. Yeah. Have a tequila. Roll a fat one.
And be a grandma because you got a kid with a kid, I think. Just be grandma.
Oh, does Lourdes have children?
I thought one of them. Didn't she have one of her kids? It's maybe one of the Guy Ritchie spinoffs or something. Yeah. but she should.
Is that how that works?
She needs to just chill. I mean, look, I like people that are driven. Look at Don Rickles. Guy still performs in Vegas. He's almost 90-something. Like, I don't know what he's doing, but just at some point, your work, you got to stop. You got to stop. All right. I'd be mad, too. I'd want a refund, and I hope they got it.
I hope so, too. I'd be ticked off, especially, what do these people do who took the train there and basically said, well, crap, concert just ended. I don't have a way to get home.
Yeah. Well, Brian, they got to call an Uber.
Uber.
Just pick up your phone and push the Uber button.
Or Lyft. Yes, that doesn't work as well.
Lyft. That's good. It works. All right. What else here? We got one more of these stories here. This one's about the fifth Indiana Jones movie, which we haven't talked about yet, and we've been wanting to talk about this.
Sure.
This article asks the question, will the fifth Indiana Jones movie of the franchise be The Force Awakens of the franchise or A Total Dumpster Fire is the name of this headline. So Disney owns this all now, right?
Right, right.
Let's talk about it. Do you think, I mean, they did for Star Wars what we wanted.
Yes.
And
here's
I think
the big difference, though.
Okay.
Is that Star Wars got J.J. Abrams, who's seeing this fresh and like who has fresh ideas and has a new way of approaching the same material.
Yeah.
so to speak.
Yeah.
But Steven Spielberg, who has experience with this character, but may also be bringing along some Steven Spielberg baggage.
Yeah.
What directors would we want to see, like, jumping in and doing Brad Bird?
Well, we already know Spielberg's doing it, but let's assume he's not.
Right, but exactly. If it weren't Spielberg, Brad Bird would be great.
One of
my first choices.
Yeah, Brad Bird would be great. I would also argue, who does a good adventure-y kind of thing?
Actually, just because of his experience with The X-Files, maybe Vince Gilligan.
Sure.
Like his first foray into movie making.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Actually, anybody. I'd take anybody. And it's not that I have a real problem with Spielberg.
I would want to see Tarantino do it, for example.
No, probably not. I mean,
or Ang Lee or...
sure. Those guys need...
Brian Singer, maybe? David Fincher? Ibo Robotosis in the chat room says.
Yeah, that's Fincher. You wouldn't play to Fincher's strengths, though, would you? Because Fincher's strengths are all about suspense and dark. And
yeah, it would be a much darker Indiana Jones 7.
Yeah. I don't think they can do that.
Terry Gilliam is an interesting choice.
Oh, that is interesting. I'll bet that he
James Gunn, who did Guardians of the Galaxy, would be really good.
James Gunn would be all right.
Good balance.
Yeah. Slither. He did Slither. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what you do here. So now that we know Spielberg's going to do it, though.
Alejandro Iñárritu.
It'd be fine. They could have slow camera pans all around the place.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. Here's what you do. Here's what you do. You quit trying to dig Harrison Ford up and make him do it. Okay. It's in 2019. That's a long time from now. He'll be like 80 or something, right? What is he now? 78 or what is he? 72? I don't know what he is.
He is going to be 80, I think, when this comes out in 2019.
Oh, my Lord.
Or no, 77?
77. It's pretty old.
Yeah.
Here's what you do. You do what we all said last time. You do the J.J. Abrams route. You carry this thing forward in a way that's meaningful, or reboot it in a way that's meaningful, and you get Chris Pratt, or you get Tom Hardy, my boy Tom Hardy, in there. Mm-hmm. Somebody to be him. Let's get a new Indiana Jones. It's time for the transition. It's okay, guys. It's all right if we don't dress up a very old man in a young man suit and have him climb hills and stuff. It's okay. It's okay to admit that Harrison Ford's passed.
And these things took place in the past, so it's totally okay to maybe go earlier. I mean, you know, they've said that Harrison Ford is going to be part of this.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's not going to be running around cracking a whip, I hope. I can't imagine.
Yeah. But if it's Shia LaBeouf, all bets are off. I don't want that.
No, not LaBeouf. Yeah. But have him be the bookends of the story. Like, oh, yeah, that reminds me. You want to know how I found this one? All right, I'll tell you the story.
Yeah, come here, Dad.
About how this, where I got this.
Yeah, the museum with the sword, Dad.
This cool crossbow thing. I like this gun. I like this gun a lot.
if they, nobody ever says Tom Hardy. I say Tom Hardy in this. I think he'd be a great Indiana Jones. Sure. All scruffy with that hat and the whip and everything.
I think so too. I think you don't want to go too pretty boy. You don't want to do like a Chris Pine or a... I don't know, like a Hemsworth.
No Hemsworths. None Unless of the Hemsworths.
The droopy third Hemsworth.
All right. The droopy Hemsworths.
Yeah.
I like that. That's a great band name, actually.
It is a great band name.
The droopy Hemsworths. Yeah, I can't think of anybody else. And Chris Pratt. Maybe we're all hitting peak Chris Pratt, though, a little bit, I feel like.
Yeah. No, I think...
it's unfortunate.
Chris Pratt probably would have been great, and maybe if it was just the absence of Jurassic Park or Jurassic World, we wouldn't have felt like we've got Chris Pratt and everything.
It's a little much right now.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm sure I'll turn around on that when he comes out with that other thing they're doing there, that other movie there, the Guardians of the Galaxy 2 there.
Sure.
Excited about that.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, we'll see how it goes, and we'll see how it does. You'll have 2 good years to wait, or more.
About three.
Three, yeah. What?
Yeah. Ugh. 2019, baby.
I don't want to think about that. You know why. That's bad.
At what point do we start saying to ourselves, gosh, I hope I'm alive when this movie comes out?
At some point you have to start, right? You and I will both, I mean, I don't want to think about this very hard, but both of us will be 50 that year.
Oh, wow. No kidding.
In 2019.
Jeez.
Nick will be 19 years old and probably off on his own.
God, we were 11 when the first one came out.
Think of that. Think of that. Harrison Ford's too old. Don't do this to him. Come on. You think we're getting old? Look at him. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Dan, the tabletop man, will be here talking tabletop experiences and games. Recommendations for you this weekend as you all get together and do a little St. Patrick's Day board gaming. After that, your Twitter questions. Before that, though, a musical break Brian brought with him.
Sure. Hey, Skin and Bones, writes John. It was my 30th birthday on March 10th, and I recently started going back to school to become a code monkey after discovering how much I love programming. Part of going back to school as an adult and a homeowner means you have to commute. And for me, that's spending almost 90 minutes in the car each way. TMS and various other Frog Pants shows make the commute bearable. So thank you guys for keeping me company and keeping me laughing. Also, without my amazing wife supporting us financially, this would not be possible. I'd like to request any song of or by one of our favorite bands, Foo Fighters, or perhaps something folk or bluegrassy, as we're both from the mountains of NC, and that style of music just feels like home. Mm. If not, maybe Scott could play something about a sandwich that's fried, tender, and crispy.
Tender.
There you go. Or this one.
With its short, close fuzz and tender skin.
Yeah, see? I fooled you there.
And he was hoping you were going to do the bacon, tender crisp bacon cheddar ranch, because then I was going to continue. And made of fish, as long as it's not too early. Thanks. I love the show, though. John.
Should have known, dude. Now I got to play that one.
Trying to lead you right into it.
Two Oregon fish sandwich.
There you go.
Awesome. Yeah. All right. So, cover of or by the Foo Fighters. Or something folky, bluegrassy, North Carolina mountains, you know, whatever. How about something that, I don't know, feels like it's a combination of the two? I guess when you think of John Fogerty and Creedence, you think more of the bayou, being born on the bayou, but whatever. This is John Fogerty and the Foo Fighters together from an album that John Fogerty released in 2013, where he had a bunch of duets with other bands and other artists doing covers of Creedence songs.
Nice.
Really cool concept. Mm. This is his team up with the Foo Fighters. It's a cover of the Creedence Clearwater Revival classic, Fortunate Son.
Creedence Clearwater Revival classic is a mouthful
it's
of words.
It's really hard to say, especially without spitting all over my keyboard.
All right, there it is. Everyone hang tight. We'll be right back.
Oh, the red, white, and blue. And when the
can the Foo Fighters just be maybe perhaps the greatest band in our modern era? They really are.
I think so.
These kind of collaborations they do, they're just, I don't know, they're just out there all the time. Dave Grohl's
a hoot.
There's
no clunkers with them. There really aren't. They're just, they're always on.
Yeah, love those guys.
Always on point.
You know, I'm kind of, I hate to say it, Kurt Cobain, but maybe you made the right decision, buddy. Too soon, Brian? Too soon?
Too soon. Too soon, Scott.
Soon.
Hey, let's get Dave Grohl to play Indiana Jones.
Yeah! I'd watch that. I'm not kidding. I totally
would. Watch it. I wouldn't enjoy it, but I'd watch it.
Yeah, I'd have a good old time with it. All right. Well, let's get Dan in here. It's been, been a while. Okay. Been a while since we've had Dan on show like this before. It's been a while. Here we go. We got a little theme going here. It's been a while for this, too. Ladies and gentlemen, join us now as we welcome to the proceedings Mr. Dan Patrice. Hello, Dan.
It's been a while since I said hi to Scotty.
Well, it's been since Tuesday, because we played Tuesday, didn't we?
I mean, you know, on the airs. But, yeah, we could talk all the time.
Yeah, that's
good. I gotta see. Evan, are you in Overwatch now?
Oh. I am in Overwatch.
Yeah.
I'm not good, but I'm in.
Yeah. Don't worry. Nobody's really good, so that's what makes us
better.
Know.
Those people who who call me noob and L2P and all these other things in chat.
Did you get a little basically. L2P last time you were in there?
No.
Okay.
No, when I go in with Civ, it's like I just hang back behind his shield. He usually does, what's his face?
It's Reinhardt.
Reinhardt.
Civ's Reinhardt, and you'll be all right.
Yeah, you'll be okay. We need to play more. I've got I got a hankering. I haven't actually played Overwatch since I got home from Cancun, so I kind of need to get in there.
Played all week either, so I'm in.
That game's
man,
great.
Man, I'm itching to play with, we get Ibid in. We could have a six-man pretty easy with all the people we play with.
Pretty simple. And, dropping grenades down somebody's hole is always a good time for me.
Always.
Dan comes on the show very rarely now because of our time change, but we like it when he does, and I'm kind of glad that this worked out today because we haven't had a lot of talk about tabletop in a long time, and I gave you very little time, but my guess is, knowing you, you've got plenty to say about something to do this weekend.
Oh yeah, you know, there's so much information out there these days that it's hard to pick out what not to talk about, what to narrow it down to a couple of things. But the good thing is Gamma Trade Show is in Vegas this week, so there's a lot of great information coming out.
Are you going to that? Is that a thing you attend?
No, that's really like for distributors and publishers to kind of show what's coming out. The big wigs of like the community, like Tom Vassell and the Dice Tower, they go out there. Us other network people, we just sit back and watch the news and then report on it.
Hope for the best. It's like GDC kind of like the
exactly
certain. Yep. It's always going to be a certain crowd there. But is this a place for big announcements, or does they reserve stuff like that for Gen Con?
It's tons of announcements of things coming out real soon in Gen Con and everything. A game that's coming out in 2 weeks from today, on the 31st, I think it's set to launch, is a game that I've got two pretty fairly heavy games, but they're both really up our alley. This game called Star Wars Rebellion is coming out in a couple weeks. I don't think I've brought this up on a show before, but it's a two-player game. I mean, you could play it four-player, but you got to get a little finagly with the rules. But it's basically designed to have two people playing. It's a gigantic fantasy flight game. It's an epic. It's probably going to be about 2 to 4 hours, but it's got tons of card. Great art, and it seems like an amazing gameplay because you've got people playing the Empire, and you got the Imperials, and you've got the I'm going to put a link for you guys to show look at the sculpts and stuff. So the one player plays the Empire, and you're going to be controlling Stormtroopers, TIE Fighters, Star Destroyers, Death Stars, and you're using all that brute force to find a Rebel Alliance player's secret base.
Okay.
And they're going to be out in the whole universe on the board, but you're not going to know where they are. Now, the Rebel player has a hidden base somewhere in the universe, and he's trying to stall long enough, basically bluff where things are, throw you off, throw some red herrings out there. But since their forces are weaker, they're going to be trying to get other systems under their, allied with other systems to help and use espionage and keep them alive long enough. You're going to have about 170 plastic miniatures. You're going to have a lot of things, more plastic leaders with stands, custom dice, 170 to 200 cards. They're going to have rules reference. This is going to be one of these boxes that you could probably kill somebody with. so you're probably looking at $80 to $100 depending on where you get it. Cool stuff will probably have it at a good discount.
Yeah. These miniatures are cool.
They're amazing, aren't they?
They're really gorgeous. I like how you get a Death Star and then you get the half-baked Death Star from Return of the Jedi.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
So there's going to be a lot of card things where I'm sure, like, while it's in, while in the game, while you're producing the Death Star, it's probably in that half-baked thing.
Right,
it might be easier to take out.
Mm. Yeah.
But you're going to get a lot for your money in there. So it's going to be good, but it's going to take a while. It depends. You know, this is kind of one of those things where you take a Saturday, you sit down with you know, your son or your daughter or your better half, and you just play it.
Yeah.
And just have a good time.
It says 180 to 240 minutes. So yeah, like you said, wow. Like 2 to 4 hours. That's a chunk of change of time. That seems like a lot. Yeah.
It's like a game of Risk.
and I bet nowadays they're trying to get away from just the bland 3 hours. I know that really sounds weird, but these are going to be things where it's going to be involved. And I bet once you play it a time or two, you could probably get it into 2 hours, and there'll probably be some variants in the box that'll help to cut it down a little bit.
Sure. There's always that.
You know, this will be one of those things where you go to game night, game night at the game store or at your house or something, and you just set it up and just play, and that's what you play for the night.
Look at all the stuff that's included. I feel like I'd lose half this. I'd leave the I'd leave the comic book shop and go, shit, I'm missing half my plastic men.
My little tiny meeple.
Yeah, my meeples are all missing. Missing meeples. Well, anyway, that's always
a problem in my house, missing meeples.
So that's that is Star Wars Rebellion Fantasy Flight Games, and it looks like it's pre-order still, right?
Yep, yeah, it's pre-orders because it'll be release date will be in 2 weeks.
All right, 74.
Another thing for people like us is Upper Deck showed off more information about Legendary Encounters, the Firefly deck building game based on, of course, one of the most beloved properties of our time.
Yeah,
the Firefly TV show.
Sure.
It's going to be 500 cards in the box. It's going to be a deck building game with very big story elements. They just showed off a little bit more of the cards. I'm going to talk about how the different elements will be there. This is kind of just a quick hit for me because if it has Firefly in a box, I'll give it a shot. And I love the Legendary system. And deck building is great.
Yeah, deck building is fun.
Upper Deck is great.
So when you, just for those not nuanced in the way this stuff works, deck building meaning not CCG, not a collectible card game, Magic a la Magic or whatever. This is a predetermined bunch of cards, maybe eventual expansion, but you're building your deck from the cards that come with the game. There are no, bonus one.
Yeah. Like a living card game would be closer to Magic, except you only use what's in the box. So Magic being more of a constructed or customizable, it's more constructed card game, trading card game with that. But these and a collectible card game, these type of games are deck building games where, yes, you're right, everything is in the box, but you're not really creating before you play. So what happens in a game like this is you'll have a scenario. Maybe you're going into verse, maybe you're trying to take out, help patients with a mission. So you'll have a scenario, you'll have things you'll have to do. Cards will come out that'll try to falter you on your scenario and do different things to you. There'll be bad guys that'll come out. Now what you've got is you've got a hand of, you'll have 10 cards in your starting deck or 12 cards, and you'll have a starting hand, which will be just crap things. It'll probably be just money, basic money and power. And then there'll be a row of cards that you can purchase. Now when you purchase these cards, they go into your deck. And then when you shuffle through, these new cards will start coming out and they'll power up your deck. So that's where you're deck building in the game. And then, of course, you're going to want to, what they call, cull the deck. You're going to want to get rid of those useless cards and just have the powerful cards you have. Mm. Now, all the while, whatever you're playing against, that scenario is going to be working against you. So you really got to ramp up and, you have that tempo where you got to get to a certain point where you start attacking whatever the objective is. So you're trying to get the best deck, best lean deck you can.
Well, I love this idea. So there's a card called Jesse. Okay. I don't know who that character is. I forget. Someone named Jesse in the series.
Yeah, from Saved by the Bell. Sure, go.
Right. She's a pilot, and she's an opportunist. She has plus one to contraband from salvage ops. All right, so there's one of her stats, right? Scroll down to Inara, Brian's secret love lady. It says she's an ambassador, and me re-roll. I don't know what the symbols mean, but anyway, she can re-roll stuff. And her one of her big things is she has fancy duds. So
now, I don't know if that's from that might be from the Firefly board game. I haven't seen any cards from actual the deck building game.
Oh, maybe that's a good point.
Yeah, because the pilot is from the board game, and you do actually roll some dice. The deck building game, you're probably not rolling anything, but that goes back to the board game, which is fantastic.
Is also good. Okay, well, good.
Oh yeah, really good. But also that's going to be real. That's another one of those 2 to 3 hour slog fest, which is great, but it's a long. Very involved game, which I love, but the deck building game, you're probably talking about a scenario that'll take about an hour.
Okay.
Once they come out.
I want this bad. I really want this, actually.
Oh, yeah. So. This will be at Gen Con, and it'll be fantastic. But you know what you will really want bad?
What?
And I was saving this for last for you.
Okay.
So IDW and Pandasaurus debuted info on the Wasteland Express delivery service.
Express delivery service?
Wasteland Express, delivery service. Okay. It's basically your Mad Max type game where it's going to be scenario based. I'll get you another link in the chat.
I am all in on this already.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds so great.
These guys, John Gilmore is the guy that was one of the co-designers of Dead of Winter. And Ben Pinchback and Matt Riddle, they made Fleet, and they've also got the Back to the Future card game. And there's another card game coming up I may save for a future episode because it's going to be a while, but you guys will love it too. But I'm going to save on that. These three guys are personal friends of mine. Last year at Unpub, I got to test a super secret prototype of this game, and this is when it was called Wasteland Truckers. And it was a little more raw, a little more fighty, but this, what from when we were testing and a lot of development they did, holy, they've really got this to a place where it's scenario-based. You're going up against three different factions. You're doing different missions. And you can play this over 10 scenarios. I know I said that like four times, but stuff like that really makes me jazzed because it just keeps – you just expand the universe, and you're playing like a story. It's like you're playing 10 movies. I mean, it's going to be fantastic.
I'm all into this, and I'm looking at – I mean, it's
that
very
vehicle,
Mad Max
that
inspired.
That little plastic vehicle in there. It's really cool.
That seems awesome. All right. You've sold me. Well, I'm all in on this. I mean, I'll try any video game based on that whole scene. Like, this kind of stuff's great. So, very cool. And what's this one like in terms of time commitment?
This one, I'm going to say a scenario is probably going to be about 60 to 90 minutes because, you know, there's going to be a lot on that board because you got a little bit of setup and it's going to be more, it's going to have that RPG element too because you're going to have player powers, you're going to be building your stuff up so that through the different scenarios, you're going to be keeping things out there. This is still probably Gen Con, maybe Essen later in the year, but they were just kind of went live with the official announcement at Gamma. So I really thought, I think the announcement just came out today. So I really thought that you guys would love this one, especially since Scott's not allowed to really say those words at the movie. So I figured I'd sneak it in and cheat a little bit.
Okay. The moratorium's been lifted. It's
yeah. It's
we
fine.
Almost went a whole week though. Today.
Yeah, we almost did, and then I mentioned it this morning because someone emailed us and I couldn't help it. It's the best movie ever. Everyone knows it. Let's just all admit it. If we can come together and at least admit that, maybe we can all take Trump down together.
We can finally move forward. Yeah,
exactly right.
You guys will be really upset to know that I have it sitting on a little zip drive connected to my TV waiting for me to watch it. And, you know, I'm like those other people that every time Scott mentions it, I move it back a day or two.
So you still haven't seen that movie?
No, somehow I've just, you know how it is when you've got kids. It's so hard to get to the movies as it is.
So Scott just had a heart attack.
He just passed out.
It's just fallen over.
Y'all need to sit down and watch my greatest film ever made, a list of the 10 years I've been watching movies. It's the greatest thing, Dan.
The biggest screen that you can find.
Kids are gone this weekend.
Yeah.
Kids are gone this weekend.
All right. If you do it this weekend, then I'll do something for you. What will that be? I'll
play Sushi Go.
I'll play Sushi Go.
Oh, yeah.
I'll play a four-hour nightmare horrible game I don't like. How about that?
No, Sushi Go is about, it's about
Sushi
20 minutes.
Quick.
You'll love that.
Yeah. You'll
love that. I've heard good things about that.
It's great.
I'll tell you what still gets played around here all the time is that code words.
Code names.
I keep saying code words. Code names is real popular in the Johnson house. People are fans.
Great game.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Huge thanks to Dan for that. Dan, anything else we should mention before sending you on your merry way?
Nope, just the Geek All Stars podcast. I'll be releasing an interview with Justin Gary, who's he's a former Magic pro and creator of Ascension, one of my favorite deck building games and one of my favorite games. It's still out there on iOS and it's got a bunch of expansions. So
check
that out. But
I didn't know this is on iOS. Everyone's been telling me to get this, and I thought they just meant the board game. This is on iOS.
Yeah, Ascension Chronicles of the Godslayer. I think it might even be free for the base game, and you can play against computer. I mean, it's a great toilet game, man. You'd love it.
Ascension Chronicle of the Godslayer. There it is.
Yep.
Oh, it says I already have it, but it's not downloaded on here. I'm losing my mind. I
probably was like an app recommendation. It's like, okay, I'll download that, and then you forget to do it.
Yeah, I know I mentioned it when a lot of their stuff, a lot of the iOS stuff went on sale free a while back. Because it's a must have.
I know what I'm doing on the shitter later. I can tell you that.
And Ibbit, hopefully I'll catch up with you in Overwatch real soon.
Yeah, we all need to be in there.
That'd be a blast.
Yeah, for sure. Dan, take it easy. Stay out of trouble. We'll talk to you soon. There he goes.
Very good.
Some reason my camera's forcing 4:3, and I don't know why. I don't care that much, but it's weird. Why would it do that? Did you notice that?
What's it doing?
It's doing 4:3 ratio instead of the
Oh, it is. What it sends to me is 4x3. That is interesting. Yeah, I've got bars on the side.
It's like it choked or something.
Weird.
All right. Speaking of choking, let's check out Twitter questions. You guys send us Twitter questions to the Ask TMS hashtag, and we read them here on the show, which is always fun, and we got a little theme for it.
And you can always follow me on Twitter.
The newest tweet.
Want to go bird hunting this weekend?
You know, why doesn't he run again?
And you can always follow me on Twitter.
I don't like him. No,
Rick
no.
Perry?
What's his name? Oh, yeah, Rick Perry. That's it.
Yeah.
I always think that's I always think it's somebody who plays for Journey. That's a Journey guy.
Steve Perry.
Yeah, Steve Perry. Why do I do that? So stupid. Anyway, I don't like him, but it'd be fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's some questions, Brian, from our fine listeners.
Okay.
Linky. Oh, you know what? I got to change the theme music because this is for Dan and not everything else. Okay. I'm going to play one here or read one here from Linky McScott's. He's a frequenter here.
Sure.
On the Ask TMS. He says, since the streak is broken, will you start sampling all the alcohols of the world? probably not. I mean, it didn't really do anything for me. It's a pina colada, right?
That's the thing what blew my mind. I mean, all right, yeah, you're at a resort, so you're gonna get like probably the watered down, cheapest bar rail rum in your pina colada. But after not having alcohol for 45 years, for 46 years, I would have expected that would have hit you. Your body would not have known what to do with that.
It didn't do anything to me.
Yeah.
Like I walked away from that going, eh.
Yeah.
Like, wasn't that big a deal? But I think isn't that the point with those, that they're supposed to be like, you know, barely. It's like when somebody has black coffee versus having coffee with a ton of cream in it. You know what I mean? Like, that has a ton of cream.
Oh, just because it's a pina colada?
Yeah.
No, I mean, a shot, you know, a drink, a properly made drink should be a shot, couple shots of alcohol.
Yeah.
And then a mixer and then a topper.
Maybe they screwed it up. Maybe they watered it down or something. I don't know.
I think they did. I think they do on purpose at those places to get you drinking more because you're going to tip with every single one. And
oh, good point. Yeah, I think you're right. So it's still, while the streak may have been broken, it's just like barely broken. And I didn't even know I was doing it. It's no fun when you just accidentally
when
do
you
it.
Accidentally do it.
Yeah, I need to like completely fly off the wagon to make it count. James Grammer wrote in and says, what would Tom Hardy sound like if he were to be cast as the new Indiana Jones or Bane? Or as Bane. Okay, ready?
Go ahead.
I'm going to try it. I don't know if this is going to work very well. What's some of the stuff he says?
Snakes. Why did it have to be snakes?
Yeah, here you go.
Snakes. Why did they have to be snakes?
There you go. That's how it made. Ralph says, you have turned into a mythical creature, but otherwise you live a normal life. What creature, Brian?
Minotaur would be pretty badass.
That's cool, isn't it?
Could you imagine me out mowing the lawn
as a minotaur? Yeah, that's pretty cool. There's one of the characters played by Idris Elba in that new Disney movie.
Zootopia
plays the chief of police, and what do they call with the big horns?
Buffalo or
like a buffalo?
Oh, like
but it's another. Maybe it's just buffalo.
Buffalo bison? If you're talking about one of those things.
It might just be. No, because Tommy Chong was the buffalo. Tommy Chong's great, by the way.
Cool.
I can't remember. Anyway, got big horns and stuff, and he's a big tough guy. And,
I'm looking it up.
Yeah, look it up. I forget what he was. Anyway, he's really great in that. And
Looks like a yak.
Yeah, kind of a. Yeah, maybe it is a yak. I don't know.
Because he's got the. Horns that go straight out to the side.
Right. They're like flat. Well, they're curved out from the front, but they're like meat in the middle. I don't know. He's great, though. And they let
Pumbaa.
Him.
Yeah. He's playing Pumbaa.
Yeah, he's playing Pumbaa.
Water buffalo.
He's not like a. Oh, maybe it's water buffalo. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, they let him have his accent, which is also nice. I like that. He's British in it.
His British accent, yep.
And he's super badass. And my whole point was his animal might be cool given the way that was portrayed. I might want to be that, whatever that is. But if I'm picking mythical, though.
That's not mythical, right?
Well, he said, I thought he said mythical or otherwise. But he meant otherwise my normal life. I got it. Okay, right, I misread the question. So if I'm going to go mythical, I want to fly, so probably like a griffin.
Mm.
Like a griffin.
That's a good choice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'd have a lot of a lion's ass on my back, though, wouldn't I?
Right, yeah, you would.
Nobody wants that. All right. Thanks, Ralph. Here's one from... Okay, here's a good one. Here's Jason. He says, what would I get? What should I get for dinner tonight? Indian food or dumplings? Where do you land on that?
I would go more for the dumplings. I'm not crazy about Indian food. And I don't know if he means, I assume he means food from India and not Native American food.
I assume so as well.
But Tina likes Indian food. I'm so-so on it. I like naan.
Yeah.
And I like curries, but
tomato-based curry with naan is heaven, a little slice of heaven for me. But mm-hmm. any of the other kind of curries,
mm-hmm.
not so much.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
yellowy, gingery curry stuff. I don't like that.
Right. Not yeah, I'd say go dumplings.
What is a dumpling anymore?
It's like a folded pastry, sometimes deep fried, sometimes boiled.
With a piece of hunk of meat in the
middle? With stuff inside it. Could be vegetables. Could be
chicken and dumplings. Okay. Because when I was younger, chicken and dumplings meant you had chicken and you had like balls of
oh, balls of dough that are fried as well.
Yeah. That's what that was to me growing up, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Dough or pasta. I guess it's more like, it's almost like a pasta, but it's not. But it's got kind of a pasta-y feel to it.
Pasta-ish.
Yeah.
Here's one. Sean M. Cox. Guess what the M stands for. who would you rather go camping with for a week? Scrappy Doo or Jar Jar Binks? You can take Brian if you agree to do 2 weeks with both.
So, okay, so he's asking you.
Yeah.
But if you take me along, then it's 2 weeks and both Scrappy and Jar Jar.
Yeah, both guys. And they're let's keep in mind here, these are essentially the same characters.
They kind of are.
In that they annoy the world they're in. I'm going Jar Jar Binks, though.
I'm going Jar Jar as well. I think...
Scrappy Doo sucks.
Scrappy's not quite as annoying. I mean, no, probably is a little bit more annoying than Jar Jar, but he's useless, too. He's a
piece of shit.
Yeah, at least Jar Jar can carry logs until he drops them and falls over them and rolls around.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. Not a fan of the Scrappy Doo, but I'll take Jar. At least Jar Jar will shut up if you tell him to.
I'll take either one into the woods, but it's only me coming back out.
Yeah, and Jar Jar's got a kind heart. Like, he's kind of sweet. You know, he's annoying, right. But he's nice.
He's not a know-it-all like Scrappy.
Yeah, Scrappy Doo's a dick.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next one. Sean Cox also asked, assuming there were no overheads, would you rename dollars to doubloons? No, I hate that term.
Doubloons.
I don't like pirate names for things. They all bug me. I like a good pirate because I think it's funny, but I don't like anything else about pirates' worlds. Doubloons, and all they drink is rum. And what else? What's another stereotype? Wooden leg and the parrot.
Eye patch. Parrot on the shoulder.
Yeah.
Yar.
All that. Forget it.
Walk on the plank.
Here's a good one. Oh, I forgot to tell you. On my trip. Once again, so I have another streak that I've kept up completely my entire life, and I forgot to mention it. I still have yet to use an airplane toilet.
Oh, wow.
Not once.
You didn't use it on the flight to Mexico?
Nope. 2 4.5-hour flights, one to one back. Didn't have to go in there. Not once.
That one doesn't blow me away as much as the one to China. China.
Yeah, I didn't pee or poo my entire trip to China.
Well, no, you had to, like... At some point you had to, but on the flight you didn't.
No, on the flight I did not. Oh, no, yeah. I did George Costanza to India or whatever, like he did that one time. No, it's right. Like, it was just the flights, but the entire 18, 14, whatever hour flight it was, both to and back, I never once used an airplane toilet.
Sure. Wow.
I used the, as soon as I got out, though, I was like in Tokyo, like, where do I pee? How do I pee? Where do I pee? Mm-hmm. So anyway, Paul says, would you rather have, this is oddly appropriate, would you rather have diarrhea for a 6-hour plane flight or have a bee land on your face once every hour for 6 hours? Oh, it's easy. The bee, dude.
Yeah. So the bee just lands on your face, doesn't do anything?
No, it just lands on your face.
Sure.
I'm taking the bee. 6-hour plane flight with diarrhea the whole time? F that.
Exactly. Well, you nightmare. Just basically... You take the little United napkin, you write out of order, you climb into the bathroom, and as you're going into the bathroom, you wedge that in the little hinge of the door, and you just sit back with your iPad and go to town.
I don't know if I could do it. they yelled at a lady for standing up while they were landing on that flight home, and it was the same ditzy lady that was like, we need you to fill out that one. She, at one point, some lady stood up as they were landing. She goes, We want to thank you all for flying with us on Delta. Hey, sit down. Sit down. Sit down now. We're not landing this plane until you sit down. She literally said, we're not landing this plane until you sit down. And that lady felt real bad. She looked real stupid.
I bet she did. Oh,
she was up doing something with the overheads. Like, what are you doing? Yeah. We're landing.
Oh, I want my buck.
All right.
I planned this well.
Avery Despy says, if you and your family could only, we'll say both of us, you or your families could eat free at any one restaurant for the rest of your lives, what do you choose? What one restaurant free?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah, I got it.
Any restaurant.
Yeah, that is a good question. In fact, you might actually say, hold on, you might say.
That's a good question.
All right.
That's a good question.
It is a good question, Mega Man. What do you say? I'm going to hear yours first because mine's probably going to surprise people.
My first thought is to say sushi, but I think I would actually say, either the Chop House, Denver Chop House.
Yeah.
It's a steak place and it's just the best steaks ever. Or, I mean, there's a couple really, really great steak. Ruth Chris, we have Ruth Chris downtown. Yeah,
those are really good.
I
hate the name though.
What, Ruth's more variety though, because that's the problem with sushi too. Is that
you need more than just that.
You gotta have good variety.
Although sushi is so prepared in so many ways, you might get away with sushi.
Yeah,
but you might still get sick of it. But all steak all the time is no good. Nobody wants that.
No. And you know you can always get, they have chicken and they have salads and stuff like that. But I better hear yours.
All right,
it's gotta be variety. There's gotta be a good variety.
And hence what I'm going to tell you. So. Okay. I was so surprised how much Kim and I loved the buffet in Mexico. I thought it would be the dumpiest, lamest thing because it was like just where it was like the last option. Like, well, you got to eat, so go to the buffet, I guess. It was so good, and it was constantly shifting, changing. They had for lunch that day, they would have lobster tail, and that night it would be shift over to some Asian thing, and the next day it would be some Italian deal, and while not everything in that buffet was perfect, it was so much variety and so many options, ribs and chicken and steak and burgers and just anything you'd ever want, a billion salad combinations, that every time we go in there, I'm like, I could eat here every day because I'm always going to have something different.
Right. But the problem with that is that you basically are saying, all right, well, we have to live at this resort for the rest of our lives.
Well, so the assumption would be, I mean, his tweet doesn't go into
detail.
Because
I think what you also have to think of is, this is in multiple locations. So like going with an Applebee's or Chili's, while on the surface is like, I don't know, you eat there free, but but it would be everywhere you'd go. Like,
it's a good point.
You could eat free anywhere in the country, basically.
All right. If this deal comes with really good internet, then I will move down there and just stay at the resort because it was really nice.
There you go.
Nothing wrong with that. I think I could live there.
Scrap Shack might be.
Oh, yeah, that'd be all right. Although we had one that poisoned a lot of people here once. So
really?
People are a little anti that place here.
Yeah, I can see why.
All right, let's try one more. Here's one.
Sure.
You know, this one. All right, Peter Fisher says, philosophical question. If TMSPM is on the air and I'm not listening because I'm at a recording clinic, will Scott read my question? Well, I think we all know the answer to that.
Yep.
Will he know, though?
Does it make a sound, basically?
Oh, I got to do this one. The Captain USS Botany Bay asks.
Botany Bay.
Botany Bay? Oh, damn, or whatever he says. Damn.
He doesn't say damn.
He says damn, doesn't he?
Damn, boy.
I think he does. I think he says damn. Doesn't he?
No.
Come on. He does. Watch. Here, I'm going to find it.
Clip.
I'm going to find it. Hold on. YouTube. I know he says damn. I'm sure of it.
Let's see.
Oh,
damn.
Tony Bay. It may not be just like that, but hold on. Okay. Why can't I find this? Tony Bay. Okay, here we go.
Ibo Robitosa says, he says damn.
Oh, really? I'm getting some support in the chat.
Getting some support.
Okay. Oh, here we go. Starfleet meets Khan and Star Trek Wrath of Khan. Here we go. Oh, this is like a big long clip, but I'll try to get to the part.
Chekov, over here.
All right, you gotta get in the building. Get in the building. Okay, take your helmet off. Okay, look at the wall. Here it is. Oh, he looks at the strap. This isn't very loud. I apologize. Okay, here we go.
Botany Bay.
Botany Bay.
Mm-hmm. One more time.
Botany
what is it?
Botany
Bay.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. And then he says,
we've got to get out of here now. Damn.
See?
Okay. All right, you're right.
We got to get out of here. Damn.
It just seems so out of place for Starfleet.
I agree. And at the time, I remember thinking, oh, they just did this because it's a movie and then get away with it in here. Anyway, wow. Captain USS right. Botany Bay asked this question, elevator full of hot farts or elevator full of wet sneezes? Where do you land on that?
Jeez.
That's a bad boy.
Oof. Either way, it sucks. I think.
Well, let's assume. Okay, Brian, let's assume it's 12 floors. People getting it on, getting off. It's a slow ride down to the lobby. But that the entire time everyone in there is either sneezing or farting.
And they're not covering their mouths.
Yes. I think farting. I hate to say it. The wet sneezes are going to make you sick. The farting is at least just going to gross you out. You could hold your breath or you could breathe through your mouth.
I'm going to say sneezes because. Yeah, I don't know, boy.
It's a rough one.
It's a rough one.
It's really rough. That's the other thing about the Mexico place we went, the hotel.
Yeah.
The resort had really tiny elevators. So they were fine and they took you where you needed to go, but there was only room in there. It always said 8 personas maximum. And I was like, right, sure, whatever. I'd get in and there's like literally room for maybe 4 of us. Like, it's really tight. I don't know what kind of people make 8 there, but the math wasn't working out for me.
Wow.
Anyway.
Yeah, I'm going with sneezes.
All right, sneezes.
They're not all going to be facing. If they're facing right at me, then I'm going farts. But I only really have to worry about the dude right behind me.
Right.
And I could go to the back. I can go to the very back.
Right.
The hot farts will permeate no matter. You can't escape. You're going to be surrounded by hot farts.
Yeah, and if you breathe it in, you're eating their farts.
You are, yes.
Fart eating. All right, forget it. We do this with the hashtag AskTMS. You can do it again next week. We'll answer your questions. We'll be happy to do that. For all other things, go to frogpants.com/TMS. Links to everything are there. We are sold out of the mugs, so don't even try now.
Wow, they're all gone?
They're gone. Everyone got them. They're gone.
I hope Dave set aside a couple for you and me.
I hope so, too. We will have to verify this, but I really hope so because I will be sad if I don't get to see one of those. But anyway, everybody got one who wanted one, I guess, or who got on the stick and bought one. Thank you all for that, and you'll be seeing them very soon. Cool. What else? That's it. Let's get out of here. You got music?
I do.
All right.
I do. And big thanks to you guys for supporting us on the Patreon, making this happen.
Yeah, thank you.
Luke Saint Germain said, "Hi, salad and bacon." On a lot of people talking about sweet tomatoes, it would be their restaurant of choice. That's a good choice.
It is actually, and it's healthier too. You're going to live longer than the steak.
Pizza, salad, soup. Mm-hmm. You got a bunch of stuff there. Chili. Yeah. Hey, Skin and Bones. It's my 30th birthday. I read this one first. Hey, salad and bacon. On March 11th, our dear planet will have orbited 44 times around the sun since I drew my first breath. To celebrate this special day, I'd like to hear a cover of the song Scarborough Fair. I love the Queensryche version, but I'm enthralled when a beautiful female voice sings the song. I trust cover man's choice on this. Mm. Hey, I have a Jeopardy-style quiz for you. This is a document which authorizes and facilitates travel and other activities in Bhutan.
Ding.
All right.
What is Bhutanese passport? Is that what he's asking
for the clip.
Oh, damn it. Okay, hold on. Here you go. What is
Bhutanese passport?
Love it. Love the dough, sure. Luke Saint Germain. All right, Luke. So I do have the Queensryche version of Scarborough Fair, and it is excellent. But you mentioned that you like hearing a beautiful female voice covering the song. This one you're going to like then. From the 2006 album Smash Hits. Yes, it's just called Smash Hits. This is Morgan and her cover of Scarborough Fair.
All right. We'll see you guys Monday. Come on back after the weekend. We'll be here for you. All right. So come on back. We'll see you then.
Sage, rosemary, and thyme. She once was a true love of mine. Tell her to make me a cambric shirt. Parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. Without no seams, no needlework. Then she'll be a true love of mine. Tell her to find me an acre of land. Parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. Between the salt water and the sea strand. Then she'll be a true love of mine.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.